विद्यावयो द्रविण धाम आत्मतुल्यम् धीरापतिम कुलवती नवरिणीत कन्या धीरापतिम कुलवती नवरिणीत कन्या काले नृसिंह नरलोक मनोभिरामम् काले नृसिंह नरलोक मनोभिरामम् कात्व मुकुंद महती कुलशील रूपा विद्यावयो द्रविण धाम विरात्मतुल्यम् धीरापतिम कुलवती नवरिणीत कन्या काले नृसिंह नरलोक मनोभिरामम् सिंहनरलोक मनोभिराम कात्वा मुकुंद महति कुलशील रूपा विद्यावयो द्रविण आत्मविरात्मतुल्यम् धीरापतिं कुलवती नवरिणीत कन्या नृसिंह नरलोक मनोभिराम कात्वा मुकुंद महति कुलशील रूपा विद्यावयो द्रविण धाम विरात्मतुल्यम् धीरापतिम कुलवती नवरिणीत कन्या कालेन सिंह नरलोक मनोभिरामम् कात्वा मुकुंद महति कुलशील रूपा विद्यावयो द्रविण आम विरात्मतुल्यम् धीरापतिम कुलवती नवरिणीत कन्या काले नृसिंह नरलोक मनोभिरामम् का हु त्वा यु मुकुंद ओ कृष्ण महती अरिस्टोक्रेटिक कुल इन टर्म्स ऑफ फैमिली बैकग्राउंड शील कैरेक्टर रूप ब्यूटी विद्या नॉलेज वय यूथ द्रविण प्रॉपर्टी धाम बी एंड इन्फ्लुएंस आत्मा टू योर सेल्फ ओनली तुल्यम इक्वल धीर हु इज सोबर पतिम एज हर हस्बैंड कुलवती ऑफ अ गुड फैमिली न वृणीत हु वुड नॉट चूज कन्या मैरिजेबल यंग लेडी काले एट सच अ टाइम नृ अमंग मेन सिंह ओ लायन नरलोक ऑफ ह्यूमन सोसाइटी मन टू द माइंड्स अभिरामम हू गिव प्लेजर ट्रांसलेशन ओ मुकुंद यू आर इक्वल ओनली टू योर सेल्फ इन लाइनेज कैरेक्टर ब्यूटी नॉलेज यूथफुलनेस वेल्थ एंड इन्फ्लुएंस ओ लायन अमंग मेन यू डिलाइट द मैनकाइंड्स यू डिलाइट द माइंड्स ऑफ ऑल मैनकाइंड What aristocratic, sober-minded and marriageable girl of a good family would not choose you as her husband when the proper time has come. This has no purport. We'll go further. Tanme bhavan kaluvrita patiranga jayam atma arpitasya bhavato atra vibho videhi mavira bhagam abhimarsato chaidya arad gomayuvan mrigapater balim ambujaksha. Therefore, my dear Lord, I have chosen you as my husband and I surrender myself to you. Please come swiftly, O Almighty One, and make me your wife. My dear lotus-eyed Lord, let Shishupal never touch the hero's portion like a jackal stealing the property of a lion.
Purtestadat datta niyama vritadeva vipra gurav archanadbhir alam bhagavan presha ardito yadi gadagracha etya panim grinatumena damaghosh suta dayonanya.
If I have sufficiently worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead by pious works, sacrifices, charity, rituals and vows, and also by worshipping the demigods, brahmanas and gurus, then may Gadagraj come and take my hand, and not Dhamagosha's son or anyone else. Purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Acharyas comment as follows on this verse. Rukmini felt that no one could obtain Lord Krishna by the efforts of a single lifetime. Therefore, she earnestly pointed out the pious activities she had performed in that life and previous lives, hoping to convince Sri Krishna to come.
Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutaha Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamsa. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Shute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasandubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. So, before I speak on this very exalted subject matter, I would like to seek blessings from all the devotees. This is the auspicious marriage of Rukmini and Krishna, and the message that Rukmini is conveying to Krishna, her heartfelt message. So, from our perspective, this message of Krishna, Rukmini to Krishna, is something like what our prayers to the Lord should be. So, the Srimad Bhagavatam is filled with so many people, so many great personalities, revealing their heart to the Lord. Unfortunately, though we want to reveal our heart, we really don't know how to reveal our heart. And here is Rukmini Devi, the Supreme Goddess of Fortune, the Eternal Consort of the Lord, demonstrating through her words what is the meaning of taking shelter of Krishna and how does one take shelter of Krishna.
So in these series of verses that we are reading right now, there is a great amount of feeling involved. There is a great amount of the heart involved. And unfortunately for people like, especially like me, who I'm not used to using the heart to pray so much, this seems very foreign, and it seems to be almost like ancient type of writing, you know, ancient type of prayer. But prayers, however ancient they are, because the heart is involved, it's ever fresh. So in this particular section that we are reading right now, there are some very beautiful points that come forth which can really enlighten and uplift our consciousness in terms of connecting with Krishna nicely. Rukmini Devi here, she is saying, O Mukunda, you are equal only to yourself in line, in lineage, character, beauty, knowledge, youthfulness, wealth and influence. So here, Katwa Mukunda Mahati Kulashila Rupa, she is saying, who can you be compared to? Generally, when you want to, you know, equate two people, there should be some standard of equating. Rukmini Devi here is saying, she's saying that you stand alone. You can't be equated to anybody else of this world. And she's calling him Nrisingha, lion among men. Of course, it's very interesting that, you know, she is invoking the Nrisingha influence of Krishna also, because she is going to propose an action in future. So she is reminding Krishna that you are Nrisingha, you know. And so essentially, there are two types of dharmas in this world. One type of dharma is known as Samanya Dharma. Samanya Dharma means this is the type of dharma that is needed to practice Krishna consciousness in this world and to live a good life. So, morality, truthfulness, etc., etc., etc. For us to have all these qualities, we need access to Samanya Dharma. For us to have access to Samanya Dharma, Krishna does not have to come himself. He can empower the rishis. He can empower the acharyas. Krishna is sitting as Paramatma within their hearts. And by empowering them with that knowledge, they have the potency, they have the power to exhibit or to teach us what Samanya Dharma is. And they have done a great job through the scriptures, through their teachings, through their talks, so many ways. Krishna is allowing Samanya Dharma to enter our lives through the empowered acharyas. Then there is another type of dharma which is known as Vishesha Dharma. Vishesha Dharma is that type of dharma that helps you reach the spiritual world, helps you reach the kingdom of God. Krishna himself descends for that purpose. He doesn't allow that purpose to be achieved only, you know, through the Samanya Dharma. Of course, Samanya Dharma does lead us to the kingdom of God. But unfortunately, people in this world need to have some experiences. And Krishna comes personally descending into this world to create such experiences for his devotees. And more important, why Krishna does not delegate this Vishesha Dharma to the acharyas or to great devotees of the Lord, and he himself comes, is because he is more desperate for the conditioned souls to reach back to him than the conditioned souls are actually to go back to him. So he personally comes out of his desperation to pull many living entities back to him. So just like when an empty train comes, which is, you know, these typical trains that carry goods, coal or whatever, you know. When these empty trains come, they have the ability to put so much amount of, you know, coal or whatever and carry it, drag it away to another destination. So similarly, when Krishna comes, he comes to pull unlimited living entities back to the spiritual world. So when you find Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, I remember I was a few days back, I was looking at one image of Mahaprabhu and his and Nityananda Prabhu and his associates dancing. And behind that image, if you see, there are millions of people following. Millions and millions of people. You can't see each one of them, but you can actually make out in that image that there are millions of people following. When I was looking at that image, I was actually fascinated. Can you imagine what power Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had? What power these incarnations have to just pull back millions of living entities and take them back to the spiritual world? That's Vishesh Dharma. That doesn't happen on a regular basis. That doesn't happen on a regular day-to-day basis. It happens once in a while. And that is speciality of Krishna Avatar. So, and if you see the way in which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu influenced people, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling, there was one Muslim king whose kingdom they had to pass through. And Mahaprabhu and associates dancing, singing, they were having ecstatic symptoms. So when the king was reported that there is some kind of revolution going on in your kingdom, there's a huge troop following, you know. There's one sannyasi who is, you know, golden in color. He's dancing like a madman, he's singing like a madman, and just by looking at him, there are thousands and thousands of millions of people following him. And the king naturally concluded that this is not an ordinary person. This has to be the same Allah that I worship. So when people look at Krishna's exhibition of such wonderful qualities, there is a natural attraction in the heart. So here, Rukmini Devi, she is telling the Lord that, my dear Lord, there is nobody else who can be compared to you. The power to attract, it's not possible for an ordinary living entity to attract so much. Yes, ordinary living entities can attract a few thousands, a few hundreds. But the power to attract practically every heart is there only in Krishna. And not just the power to attract, but also the power to reciprocate. Nowadays, you know, when people become famous, people become really popular, the ability to reciprocate only is not there. You receive 300, 400 mails in a day. What can you answer? Where do you have time to answer? And what to speak of reciprocating with everyone in the exact same way? I know so many people, when they get birthday messages, they do copy paste. Everybody same reply, you know. So each one is sending a birthday message which is special, but you don't have the ability to reciprocate in a special way. So you just copy paste whatever same message that you write, you send everybody. Why? The ability to reciprocate is just not there. But Krishna is a very personalized person. And because the personalized personality of Krishna is reciprocating with every message that comes to him, naturally there is a greater attraction, there is a greater pull. Human beings require personal attention. Relationships thrive when there is great amount of personal attention. And therefore, in our limited ability in this world, we have that ability to only deal with a few people on a personal level. Why? We are not God. We are not Krishna. Only Krishna can deal with every individual, as many individuals as that come to him, in the exact same way, and in a way that really touches the heart. That's the difference. And here, Rukmini Devi, she's telling that what aristocratic, sober-minded and marriageable girl of a good family would not choose you as her husband when the proper time comes? That means, here she is not even thinking that no other girl will get attracted to Krishna eventually. She is saying everybody has to get attracted to Krishna only. So here there is no question of envy. There is no question of, you know, any kind of feeling that I have to be the only exclusive lover of Krishna. Exclusivity comes in material terms. But in spiritual terms it is only inclusive. And the inclusivity and the number just doesn't matter only. Because Krishna can be personally reciprocating with everyone. So, Rukmini Devi, she is saying that Krishna delights the mind of mankind. So, when Krishna appears in somebody's life, there is a great amount of joy. There is a great amount of delight in the mind. When Krishna appeared in the prison house of Kamsa, different people reacted differently. When Krishna appears, the non-devotees go to sleep. The guards in Kamsa's prison house all went to sleep as soon as Krishna appeared. So it's very interesting, from a practical application point of view, Krishna consciousness is very boring for people who are not really devotees. If you make them sit in a lecture, they will start yawning, they will start stretching themselves, they will feel like going to sleep, and they feel like running away basically. Because they feel like there is no excitement here. Excitement of the years comes only when you have attention towards Krishna's pastimes. I mean, you have a deep connection with Krishna's pastime, then your ear remains erect. You are really, really intensely wanting to hear. But when a non-devotee hears, immediately disconnects. So as soon as Krishna was born in Kamsa's prison house, the people outside went to sleep. All of them went to sleep, you know. And Vasudev, of course, he was active. People who were neutral, like the shackles which were binding Vasudev, they were neutral, not like, you know, the guards who were anti-Krishna. The shackles were neutral, the doors were neutral, all of them opened up to serve Krishna. So people who are neutral, they are open to reciprocating with Krishna, to accepting Krishna in their lives. People who are non-devotees, they become passive, they go to sleep. And people who are devotees, they become active. Devaki and Vasudev, they were going through pain. They were going through pain for last 8 years. But in spite of going through pain, their service is not stopping. Their enthusiasm to serve is not stopping. It's continuing even more. In fact, Vasudev is most enthusiastic now to serve Krishna, just when he is going through the greatest pain of his life. One child, possibility of that child being alive, that also is gone. The savior, the Taranhar has come. Instead of that Taranhar staying with them and giving them joy, he is going away from their lives. It's painful. It's definitely disturbing. But for them, service is a priority. So Vasudev, he took Krishna, he kept Krishna there and he brought back Maya. And as soon as he brought back Maya, everybody got up. In presence of Maya, people become very active, enthusiastic, you know. So it's, and of course, when Kamsa came in, the nature of Maya is that she makes you feel that you can grab her. But the moment you grab her, she runs away and she spits at you. She really makes you stupid, you know. She really makes you feel so embarrassed. Can you imagine Kamsa's embarrassment? After 6 times successfully throwing, same way, same style, and babies, 6 babies, you know, he managed it. And the 7th one, it was such a bouncer for him, he just couldn't fathom what happened exactly. So Maya Devi, that's how she influences a living entity. She gives him a feeling that she is under his hold. And just when you feel that you have full control of the energy of the Lord, then she does something that really puts you in such a funny situation that you just can't come out of it. So, Kamsa and Devaki both were in trouble. But when Devaki was in trouble, she wanted to do more service. And when Kamsa was in trouble, he was trying to exploit more the material resources to try to enjoy and overcome that suffering in that way. So essentially, Rukmini Devi is saying that Krishna delights the mind of a living entity, mind of mankind. Pleasure in this world doesn't lie in grabbing material things, grabbing Maya. Pleasure in this world lies in trying to hold Krishna in the mind. When you try to hold Krishna in your mind, that gives you delight. So Rukmini Devi over here, apparently, she doesn't have Krishna's presence in her life at this point of time. But she has a strong presence of Krishna in her mind. And just imagine what she is saying here. She is saying, just the presence of Krishna in my mind is giving me so much delight. What if Krishna comes into my life? So she is just trying to express her heart over here. So when Krishna Katha enters your ears, when Krishna Katha enters your life, the pastimes of Krishna enters your life, that gives you the pleasure that we are trying to actually hanker for. Krishna Piyusha. The word Piyusha means a type of nectar that can never be had in the regular world. So that is the kind of hankering that each one has. And that Piyusha, that satisfaction, that pleasure to the mind, that delight to the mind is coming just by Rukmini Devi remembering Krishna. Just by Rukmini Devi filling her mind with Krishna. So, Rukmini Devi is making a very interesting point here that what are the qualities of somebody who will desire Krishna? Apparently, this seems to be a marriage letter. This seems to be a marriage invitation. This seems to be a love letter. But from another perspective, it is also a letter of prayer. It is also a letter of seeing one's qualification, whether you are actually fit for having Krishna in your life. It is also a letter of list of criteria for being qualified to have Krishna in your life. So here, when she is saying that a girl who is aristocratic, sober-minded, born in a good family, and of a marriageable age, wants to, is qualified, you know, these are the qualities of a girl who would desire Krishna. We just replace the girl, the word girl, by the word living entity. It's actually the same thing. What are the qualification or the qualities that are needed to actually have Krishna in your life? First of all, marriageable age. That means, for every living entity, there is a time when you are ripe to have Krishna in your life. Everyone has a certain time when Krishna can manifest in the most powerful, potent way. The time can come in the form of a calamity. The time can come in the form of a powerful sangha of a devotee. The time can come in the form of a realization that wakes up from within. The time can come in so many ways. But when you are ripe enough for Krishna to come into your life, that's when, that's the proper time. That's the marriageable age for a living entity. When she's saying that the girl has to be aristocratic, what she actually is, from our perspective, we see it, it means that when we want to connect to Krishna, we should have something valuable to offer to Krishna also. Most living entities in this world, when they come to God, they come for a one-way reciprocation. They come to God to grab things from Him, to accept things from Him, to take things from Him. When the devotees go to God, when sincere practitioners go to God, they don't go to God to take from Him. They go to God to give Him as much as they can. So when you have anything valuable which Krishna has given you, that is the thing that you have to offer back to Him. And when she's saying that the girl has to be sober-minded, from our perspective, for one to actually practice spiritual life, there has to be gravity. Gravity is not just one of the qualities that is needed to practice spiritual life. Gravity is a quality that holds you in spiritual life. The gravity is a quality that actually keeps you steadily focused and growing in spiritual life. And therefore, the pastime of Balaramji playing with Rukmi dice. In that pastime, if you see that fellow laughing, king of Kalinga, he was laughing with his teeth, you know. Balaramji was disturbed because that is a disqualification to practice spiritual life. You know, have a very frivolous attitude. Balaramji knocked off all his teeth practically, you know. It is quite a lesson to people who are, you know, interested in spiritual practice. And when Rukmini Devi is saying that one should be born in a good family, what she means is that your connections are very important to shape you for being ready for Krishna. If you have the right kind of connections, you develop the right kind of shape to be able to connect with Krishna very deeply. If you study the pastime of the whole episode of Dronacharya and Ashwathama, Ashwathama, though he was the son of the most qualified Brahmana, but unfortunately, because his father had a certain attitude, certain mindset, strong ambition which is beyond his needs, Ashwathama developed a similar mindset, but to a greater extent. The greed of Drona and the greed of Ashwathama, if you compare, Ashwathama went into a totally different tangent, but it was triggered off by Drona's mindset. So Ashwathama grew up seeing the mind of his father, seeing the nature of his father, and naturally he absorbed that part from him, and he went on a tangent. And when Dronacharya saw his son going in such a wild fashion, he was bewildered. And then he, at every point of time when he saw his son going on a tangent, he couldn't do anything because he was the one who triggered it. He was the one who was instrumental to it. So similarly, when we need to have the right connections, when Rukmini Devi is talking about having the right family, being born in a good family, what she actually means from our perspective is that there has to be strong connections for being able to connect with Krishna very strongly. Rukmini Devi, what is her connection with Krishna? Her connection with Krishna is through the Brahmanas, through the travelers who traveled to Vidarbha, speaking about the glories of Krishna, speaking about the pastimes of Krishna, speaking about the qualities of Krishna. As she kept hearing the qualities of Krishna from all these personalities, her desire, desperation to connect with Krishna just grew and grew and grew. If you study the Brahmana Patnis of Vrindavan, the Brahmana Patnis, when they traveled, they were hearing constantly, vegetable sellers, fruit sellers, all of them who would come to their village, they would keep narrating the pastimes of Krishna and Vrindavan. That was their connection. They never saw Krishna. They never had any association with Krishna. The only thing they had was, they heard about Krishna. The Kaliya Nags, his wives, the Nagapadnis, what was their connection with Krishna? Their connection with Krishna is that they were living in the banks of the Yamuna River. And those who came on the banks of the Yamuna River were constantly talking about Krishna. The environment is filled with Krishna Katha. And just by overhearing all those nectarian pastimes of Krishna, they gave their heart to Krishna. So, whether it is Rukmini Devi, whether it is Brahmana Patnis, whether it is Kaliya's wives, their connection with Krishna began through hearing. And not really physical association. And therefore, when you are connected with people who are desperate to share Krishna Katha with us, who are desperate to give Krishna Katha to us, that connection is the good family. The good family of the right association, the right connection, the right devotees. And that helps us, that gives us the qualification to desire Krishna. Proper time, the right environment for us to be able to qualify, to be able to desire Krishna. That means the aristocracy, that means you'd have something valuable to offer to Krishna, the desire to offer that valuable thing to Krishna. Sober-mindedness, that means the lack of frivolity and gravity, which is and the need for gravity, having gravity in our heart, and the right connection, which gives us a qualification to desire Krishna in our hearts. Rukmini Devi here, she is expressing her heart to take shelter of Krishna. So she's saying here, I surrender myself unto you. Atmarpitascha bhavato. She's saying that arpita, I offer my life to you. I surrender to you. So sharanagati is something that has to be expressed. It is not something that is understood. Relationships in this world also, most people, they assume that there are a lot of things that are understood. We're living together, it is understood that there is love. We come to Krishna, we are staying in the temple, it is understood that we love Krishna. Stay among devotees, it is understood that we love them. What is the need to express? Here, Rukmini Devi is actually teaching us, nothing can be assumed in this world. Especially deeper sentiments should not be just assumed, it should be expressed. And when there is expression of deeper sentiments, there is recognition and there is action. Rukmini Devi, Krishna is sitting in her heart as Paramatma. She can think, Krishna knows my heart. He should act on his own. Gajendra was struggling in that milk ocean. Paramatma is there within his heart. He knows that the Paramatma is there. Why does he have to scream? Why does he have to shout those prayers? Why does Rukmini Devi have to write a letter, send a Brahmana all the way? Why does Draupadi have to chant the names of Govinda, Madhava, Damodar? The whole concept of chanting The whole concept of expressing surrender, the whole concept of expressing one's heart is a very important concept in Sharanagati. Expression is difficult in today's world. The reason expression is difficult is because the ego is very strong. The false ego, it doesn't allow us to express that I need shelter. It doesn't allow us to express to Krishna, my dear Lord, I need you. I desperately need you. And through the prayers of Rukmini Devi, through the prayers of these great personalities, we understand at their level, I mean, who is Rukmini Devi? She is just not an ordinary girl. She is a supreme goddess of fortune. At her level, she is desperately expressing. Then, what about at our level? Don't we need to express? Don't we need to keep sharing? So, Rukmini Devi, she is expressing her heart in a very intense way here. When one takes shelter of mystic powers, you put yourself in a very comfortable situation. And in such situations, you don't need to take shelter of Krishna. People in this world rely on mysticism, rely on some magical mantras, rely on some, you know, gadgets or some tools that give you a sense that I don't need shelter because I have enough to handle my life. So when we actually, so the whole concept of mysticism, the whole concept of magic is a concept that is associated with comfort zone. And here is Rukmini Devi, she is not looking for magic in her life. She is not looking for magic in her life at all. She is not telling Krishna, Krishna, do some magic. She is saying, she is desperately expressing her desire to take shelter of Krishna. If you study the pastime of Ambarish Maharaj, the whole pastime of Ambarish Maharaj and Durvas Muni just indicates this. One was a person who had magic. Durvas Muni, throwing one hair of his on the ground, he created a demon. Absolute magic. And he thought he had absolute control. Ambarish Maharaj, no magic. Only one thing. Shelter. Shelter which is expressed. Ambarish Maharaj did not take shelter that is assumed. He took shelter that was expressed. Of course, he did not pray to get rid of the demon. He prayed as a natural reflex to anything that happens in life, whether good or bad. So when Ambarish Maharaj, he desperately prayed, something very interesting happened. So from Durvas Muni's perspective, if you see, if you are disciplined, even the most insignificant part of your body can create something wonderful, becomes powerful. Hair. What can hair do? I mean, in today's day and age, if you cut your hair and sell it, you might get like few paise, you know. That's the worth of the hair. But Durvas Muni's hair, you throw it on the ground, it creates a demon. It can create so many other things probably. We don't know in other pastimes of what has happened from his hair. But one pastime definitely we know that his hair is very powerful. So the most, when you are disciplined, the most insignificant part of your body can create powerful effects. But the same person, if you don't have the right attitude, even Vaikuntha can be a place of Kunta for you. So Durvas Muni, he had the most powerful discipline, he had the most powerful powers. But for him, Vaikuntha became a place of misery. Because the chakra is chasing even there. Even there he was miserable. So essentially, what it means is that, from a devotee's perspective, when we do not have the right attitude to practice spiritual life, then externally we may be equipped with all magic. Externally we may be equipped with all the mysticism that is possible in the process of bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga empowers you to do a lot of things. Some of the things that many of us do, we probably may never have been able to do unless we practice devotional service. But that is not the criteria for judging what is the pulse of your devotion. Mysticism, empowerment is not the criteria to judge the pulse of your devotion. It is your attitude that is really the test of your devotion. If you do not have the right attitude, in the spiritual world you can be miserable. So, apparently, from Durvas Muni's pastime, we definitely see this happening. He was in the temple of the Lord. He was in the presence of Krishna, but he was miserable. Therefore, before going and before being qualified to be in the presence of the Lord, in the temple of the Lord, we have to also have the right attitude to be eligible to be in the temple of the Lord. So here, Amrish Maharaj, apparently he was just a simple person. He never went to Vaikuntha, by the way. Durvas Muni did go to Vaikuntha. Amrish Maharaj never went to Vaikuntha. But in spite of not going to Vaikuntha, his faith was much more, because his attitude was much better. So here, Rukmini Devi, she is expressing her heart in a way that is really, really touching. So when this pastime of in the Mahabharata, where Maya Danav touches, comes to Arjun and takes shelter of Arjun, it's a very interesting pastime from this perspective if you see it. Because apparently Maya Danav also took shelter of Arjun. Krishna wanted to destroy him, but Maya Danav took shelter of him. Amrish Maharaj, Krishna wanted to destroy Durvas Muni, but Amrish Maharaj did not want to destroy Durvas Muni. So the whole reason why the chakra did not kill Durvas Muni in the first place, I mean, the Sudarshan chakra is not a slow one. It's not that Sudarshan chakra, you know, rotates at 250 kilometers per hour or something like that, you know, and Durvas is running at 300 kilometers. It's not like that. The Sudarshan chakra is too fast. It goes at the speed of Krishna's desire. And why did Sudarshan chakra not kill Amrish at that instant? The reason is Durvas Muni at that instance. Because Amrish Maharaj did not desire the Durvas Muni be killed. So the will of the devotee is much greater than the will of the Lord. Krishna wanted to destroy Maya Danav, but Arjun wanted to give him shelter. So apparently from this perspective, when Maya Danav approached Arjun for shelter, he immediately gave it. Maya Danav wanted to reciprocate something to Arjun. He wanted to give something to Arjun. Arjun said, no, I don't want anything. But Krishna said, wait a minute, give him a palace. Make a palace for him. So the whole concept of, you know, I heard this in somebody's lecture, very interesting concept. The whole concept of Kripa, Vaishnav Kripa, when one takes shelter of a devotee, Maya Danav took shelter of Arjun. That shelter of devotee leads to Krishna Kripa. And when you get Krishna Kripa, it leads to Vaishnav Seva. Krishna immediately gave him service of Arjun, service of the Pandavas. And service of the Vaishnav leads to Vaishnav Kripa again. The Vaishnavas become compassionate. So here, Amrish Maharaj's story, Durvas Muni did not have Vaishnav Kripa. And because he did not have Vaishnav Kripa, Krishna Kripa definitely doesn't come in his life. And only when he got the Kripa of the devotee, then Krishna Kripa came into his life in the form of Sudarshan Chakra going away. So here, Rukmini Devi is desperately seeking shelter of Krishna. She is telling Krishna that, my dear Lord, I have chosen you as my husband. But my brother Rukmi, he wants to hand me over to Shishupal. So the concept of Rukmi, Shishupal and Krishna and Rukmini is a very interesting concept. Rukmi represents the devilish mind. Shishupal represents the senses. Rukmini represents the living entity, which is pure. And Krishna represents God. There is a desperate attempt of the living entity, the Atma, to take shelter of Krishna. But at the same time, there is an equally desperate attempt of the mind to throw the living entity in the association of the senses, in the association of, you know, Shishupal. So here, how does Rukmini Devi handle her problem is expressed here, which is the way in which we need to handle our mind. So the problem in this world is that people take Maya very personally and Krishna very impersonally. If you study the way in which people talk about things of this world, which are absolutely material in nature, they talk about it as if it is so dear. Few days back, somebody who attends one of my classes, she came and told me, tears in her eyes, she's telling me, Prabhuji, you don't know what has happened in my life. I said, what? She said, my only dog died. And she showed me a photo of the dog, you know. She told me, please pray for him that he goes back to the spiritual world. I said, of course, I'll definitely pray. So I didn't want to, you know, give her any shocks. So I didn't get into the philosophical aspect. You know, when this brother of Shivananda Sen, what is his name? Srikant, he went to Mahaprabhu. He went with a uttari on his neck. So Govinda is telling him, hey, what are you doing? You don't go to Mahaprabhu with the uttari on your neck. You remove that uttari. Mahaprabhu told Govinda, he is disturbed. Anybody with a disturbed mind, you should not give instructions. So let him come as it is. So it's very interesting from Mahaprabhu's psychological perspective also. The Mahaprabhu is very sensitive. When a person is disturbed, you don't give him instructions. Many times, most preachers in their enthusiasm, they give the heaviest instruction to a disturbed mind. And then there is retaliation in the form of different ways, you know. So, Rukmini Devi here, she is expressing to Krishna that she wants to take shelter of him, and the mind is throwing her away to the senses. So, when a lion is in a cage, you feed the lion anything, the lion will jump and devour it. Because the lion wants to eat so many things. I mean, so many people lobbing around outside the cage, the lion is desperate over here, you know. But unfortunately, only little comes in. And whatever comes in, the lion goes crazy, just pounces on it and eats it up in a second. Why? The desperation is there. When the mind is very much subjugated and controlled, the mind is desperate. When I can throw this fellow into the senses, you know. And therefore, there has to be extreme amount of alertness. Rukmini Devi, she is actually taking shelter of the Lord and telling the Lord, my dear Lord, you have to protect me. You have to rescue me. You have to rescue me from the operations of the mind. And to be able to rescue, to be able to be rescued from the operation of the mind, Rukmini Devi tells what is the method. She is saying, if I have sufficiently worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead by pious works, sacrifices, charity, rituals and vows, and also by worshipping the demigods, brahmanas and gurus, then may Gadagraj come and take my hand and not Dhamagosha's son or anyone else. That means, to get Krishna in your life and to be not allured by the proposals of the mind, to be not disturbed by, you know, the mind throwing you into the senses, this is what is needed. Rukmini Devi is saying, you can't get Krishna by little effort. Lifetimes of efforts is needed to get Krishna in our life. So here, what Rukmini Devi is essentially trying to say is, the whole concept of Krishna consciousness is that our philosophy of life and our experience of life has to match. We may have a certain philosophy that we are abiding by, but do all our experiences align with that philosophy? If it aligns, then there is discernment. Then there is a lot of ability to discern the right from wrong. So, it is very difficult to remember philosophy when the experiences of enjoying this world. When the experiences very heavily of enjoying this world, very difficult to remember the philosophy. Rukmini Devi is comparing her situation to the living entity situation. Just see, from our perspective also, Rukmini Devi is telling, here is a very strong proposal for me to enjoy the material things. She is telling Krishna, my dear Lord, the mind is desperate for me to enjoy the senses. But please, if I have done unlimited amount of piety, if I have done lifetimes of sacrifice, if I have done lifetimes of pure activities, please don't let my mind deviate. So the whole concept that Srila Prabhupada has introduced in ISKCON is the concept of protecting us in that environment. The morning program is to unite devotees. And the evening program of preaching is to unite the world. In the morning, when we really are united and get the power to really share Krishna and pull people more into this world, into the movement, then we go out and pull in. But if we ourselves are, you know, disintegrated in our consciousness, we go out. Outside, everything is disintegrated only. So you get pulled out rather than pulled in. So, Rukmini Devi here, she is sharing with us what is the way in which one needs to deal with the mind. Hand over the mind to the guru. Hand over the mind to the spiritual master. So she is sending this letter through the Brahmana. The Brahmana represents the Guru. Taking the message of the living entity to Krishna. Conveying the heart of the living entity to Krishna. So the best way to control the mind is to hand over the mind to the Guru. So obedience to hearing the instructions of the Guru and following it, that is the secret of actually being able to control the mind. I'll end with a very interesting story. This is a story that is there in the Vanaparva of the Mahabharata, which is the story of Ashtavakra Muni. So there was a sage whose name was Udalaka. He had a disciple whose name was Khagodara. And this disciple was an amazing person. And he was very impressed and he handed over his daughter Sujata in marriage with Khagodara. Sujata conceived in some time. She was pregnant. And one day Khagodara was reciting the Vedas while she was sitting there. Suddenly the child within the womb of Sujata, he spoke. And the child said, "You are making a mistake. I know all these mantras. The way you are chanting the Vedas is wrong." Khagodara got so angry on this child in the womb that he cursed him. He said, "It looks like that your mind is crooked, so I curse you that your body will be crooked in 8 places." And then eventually the child was born. He was crooked in 8 places. Therefore his name was Ashtavakra Muni. So eventually the child grew up. And actually, when the child was born, even before the child was born, the father, Khagodara, he went to Janak Maharaj's kingdom. They were very impoverished. So he went to Janak Maharaj's kingdom to try to earn some living. And while there, Janak Maharaj was engaged in something. And then eventually, somehow or the other, they pulled him into a debate with one scholar whose name was Vadina. And the debate went on and he lost. Khagodara lost. And the result was that if whoever loses has to drown in the river. So Khagodara had to drown and he died. Ashtavakra, when he was born and he grew up, he realized that his father is dead. So he said, "I will go and get my father back." So he went to Janak Maharaj's kingdom and he went to the door, to the gatekeeper. This was a small boy at that point of time. The gatekeeper said, "Who are you? You are come to debate? Small children don't really have any intelligence. Just get lost from here." Ashtavakra Muni, he got so angry on that gatekeeper that he quoted Vedic verses to prove how age is not a barrier for knowledge and age is not a barrier for wisdom. That gatekeeper was bewildered and they allowed him in, and then he challenged Vadina. He defeated Vadina, and then now Vadina had to drown in the same river. So when Vadina drowned in the same river, his father came back. So Khagodara came back, and the father and son, they, you know, were coming back. And when they were coming back, you know, this Khagodara, he was very happy with his son that he, you know, made him come alive again. And on the way, they came through a river. And he told Ashtavakra Muni, "Go and have a bath in the river." And when he went and had bath in the river, he came out. He was completely, perfectly fine. All his deformations went away. So, from our perspective, this story is a very interesting story, definitely. It's quite a weird story. But from our perspective, if you see, crooked mind leads to crooked body. Essentially, crookedness, which essentially means anarthas, is a result of first it taking shape in the mind. When it takes shape in the mind, eventually it takes shape on an outer form also. So Ashtavakra Muni apparently found fault in his guru. Father represents the guru because he is learning the Vedas from him. When he found fault in the guru cursed him to become deformed. So what does it mean? The guru is not desperate to make you deformed. He is not a person who is angry with you. What it really means is that when you offend great devotees, deformation automatically happens. So the only way to overcome deformations is when you actually do some tangible service to the person because of whom you got deformed. And here, apparently, from Ashtavakra Muni's point of view, the moment he served his father, immediately the father became enthusiastic to help him overcome his deformations. So the whole concept of guru-disciple relationship is a relationship of helping one overcome the 8 or the 6 anarthas. And Rukmini Devi over here, at this point of time, she's telling Krishna, "My dear Lord, if I have done anything pious, if I have done anything good in my life, please come and rescue me." which means that she never said to Krishna, "My dear Krishna, don't you know how many good things I have done?" That's the natural perspective of a living entity. The living entity always feels that he or she has done more. And you deserve freedom, you deserve liberation, you deserve purification as a result of doing so much. But Rukmini Devi's attitude is perfect. If I have done so much, if I have done enough, please help me. That if, as long as it is there in our life, the struggle to grow will be there. The moment we say, "I have it and do it," that if goes away, then you lose the mercy also, you lose the grace also. So at this point of time, we would like to stop here. If there's any comments, corrections, I think it's late, we will not take any questions. But kindly forgive me if I have spoken things that are beyond my realization. And if there's anything small that has helped you all in your life, please bless me so that I can practice whatever little I spoke. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthra, Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Sorry.